One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 31 after the hour. Time for our Cops Say Legalize Drugs segment. And joining us today for the segment is Carl Tenenbaum. He's a retired police sergeant from the San Francisco Police Department. Carl, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you great.
Fantastic. Glad to have you here. And just to confirm, this is San Francisco, not South San Francisco?
San Francisco.
Last week we had a guest on who was from South San Francisco, and I messed it all up. I wanted to make sure I got the right city.
That would have been probably Joe Baldy you talked about.
It sure was. He was great. So you know Joe?
I just actually met him last week on a commercial shoot for Prop 64.
Okay. So checking out your bio, Carl, says you began in 1981, spent 32 years as a street cop in San Francisco. Give us some of the highs and lows of that, and what about your experience turned you around to wanting to end Prohibition?
Let's see, highs and lows. Well, you know, the entire experience is kind of one big high. It was really a city that I grew up in. It's a great city to work. People there really embrace the cops, and I really enjoyed it a lot. So it was a really rewarding job, one that, you know, as a kid growing up, I wanted to do. And like I said, it was a nonstop high. The lows are the day-to-day dealings with the social ills. I mean, obviously, people think big-time law and order, CSI, robberies, murders. It's the daily grind. It's kind of the low. It's kind of what wears cops down and what erodes away at them. And you know, you're exposed to a lot of I call them the mundane problems. The derelicts, the drunks, the homeless, especially in San Francisco, a big homeless problem. And then the big socioeconomic divide. So that's kind of in a nutshell the highs and lows for me personally. I mean, obviously there were some traumatic events. I had a partner that got killed in the line of duty. You know, there's major life-changing things, but all in all, 32 years, that was it.
Now, your partner who got killed, was that in relation to a drug buy or something?
Exactly what it was. We were actually doing kind of a rolling surveillance. We used to do these, where we weren't doing active undercover stuff. We would just go into the different public housing projects in the areas of, and use air quotes here, high crime areas. There's a lot of street dealing. And we saw a drug deal go down, and my partner, we actually had two separate cars. There were six of us all together. We all bailed, get into a foot pursuit. I go back and get in the car. And what happened actually was my partner was chasing the dealer. It was a crack deal. And my partner was chasing this guy across a really busy boulevard in San Francisco. And my partner got hit by a car.
Oh.
So it was kind of a fluky thing, but that was the way it went down.
Man, what a shame. Sorry to hear about that. So you were working, and this is not just, you know, we're talking, you know, 1980s. There had to have been, you know, the Miami Vice era, the crack era. Was that a big part of your job?
That was the primary part of it. Like I said, I joined in 81. I initially went to the narcotics unit in 1982. It was a short term, they call them details. You get detailed, you get transferred, you get assigned. I got detailed in narcotics in 82, and that was primarily the focus was on weed. We had a weed sales problem. People were complaining about the dealing on the street. So we were doing pretty much weed enforcement. I transferred back to the station, and then 5 years later in 1987, really I would say this is when crack was just really kind of the epidemic. You know, I think you can trace the crack epidemic back to 85, 86. And so in 87, I went down to the narcotics unit, and one of my talking points when I speak on behalf of police is the fact when I was in narcotics in 82, there were about 25 cops there. When I went back in 87, there were about 125 cops. And it just became this major, major operation because the whole crack, war on drugs. And yeah, it was crazy. I mean, it was really crazy. It was day-to-day stuff like the story I just told about my partner. We were just in it, inundated with it. So, I was really in it. You know, you asked me early on in the interview about, you know, when was my awakening or, you know, my epiphany. And I just think being exposed to what we were doing day to day and going into primarily the public housing projects of low income neighborhoods and seeing the blight and the futility and also the fact that our enforcement was really focused on these areas and realizing it was futile. There was a lot of futility and I was starting to feel a little disillusioned during the course of, I was down in our cottage for 3.5 years that time. And it was just, it was a revolving door throughout the whole arrest and booking and prosecution and court. And it's the same people when they get out, they go back out to dealing. And if they go to jail, something takes over for them. And plus we had cops getting hurt. My partner was the worst case scenario, but we had cops getting hurt left and right. And I just remember thinking to myself, we're out there fighting with people. I mean, literally hand-to-hand combat, struggling, choking guys off for a $10 piece of crack cocaine. So just, it didn't make any sense. And it still doesn't.
I think one of the difficult things for people trying to address this situation is they'll look at the war on drugs and they'll hear stories like yours and go, yeah, this ain't working. But what are we going to do? Have Bob's crack store? How are we going to end prohibition?
No, it's just going to be Carl's crack store. I've already got it figured out.
Carl's crack store. That's alliterative.
I'm not an expert yet, but I'm going to say based on the reality is the street cop reveal is not working. Yeah, what's the solution? And I haven't looked. I can't even say. I think it's Switzerland where they've legalized it. If the problem in this country is we recognize that drug addiction. I mean, forget about people that are casual users, whether they're break or pot smokers or the weekend Wall Street guys that are snorting. It's the casual user is one thing, but addiction is universally recognized as it's a health problem. It's a medical problem. And yet it's the only health and medical problem where we lock people up. So what do we do with people that have medical problems? We send them to the doctor and we give them medicine. So if somebody's addicted, I think the solution, and again, I don't know what the models are. I haven't researched that enough, but I understand that the way it's done in, I want to, and again, I may be off base, Portugal and Switzerland, where you're an addict. You're addicted to heroin or you're addicted to crack or cocaine or whatever. You go to the state-run clinic and you come in and you register and you say, look, this is my addiction. I need help. So obviously, number one, there's going to be counseling and there's going to be education. There's going to be awareness. But the other thing is, here's your daily dose of cocaine. Here's your daily dose of heroin. And again, I may be oversimplifying, but what people don't realize, well, that's ludicrous, the amount of money, forget about my partner. Just the amount of resources that this country, billions and billions and billions of dollars that we spend not only on locking people up, arresting them, incarcerating them, the whole, like I said, the judicial revolving door, the amount of crime that is committed by the addict in order to get the money, to get the goods, to sell for the money, to buy their drugs. That's what people, I don't think a lot of people are aware of that nexus, that's how it works. So, yeah, and I think the counter argument is, well, the government's going to run, basically hand out drugs or give out drugs. Well, here's the alternative. You want to keep, you want to come out from the theater and see your car's been broken in again. Yeah,
right.
And so I think that's what, like I said, I think that there's people, they don't realize that there's that connection. That just the whole war on drugs. There's a whole economy attached to that too. So I mean, I don't think we have enough time to talk about it all, but yeah. So Bob's crack den is actually, no, it's the state run medical clinic for addicts. And here's where you go and you get your clean needle. Here's where you go and you get your rock. However, I mean, obviously it has to be well thought out, but I think we're going in the right direction with legalizing weed in the way that, I've read the language of Prop 64. I know how it's worked in Colorado and Washington, where there's really specific terms, where it really breaks down. There's really not, the goal of reading any is to come away like, okay, there's no questions here as to how it's going to run. The state's going to regulate. So I don't think it really has to be much different for any other drug. And I know it's scary. It scares a lot of people. But having spent 32 years as a cop, it's not working. It's not.
We're speaking with Carl Tenenbaum, a retired police sergeant from the San Francisco Police Department and a speaker with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. You can find more speakers at leap.cc. Someone is in your area ready to talk to your group. And Carl, I'm glad you brought up Prop 64, because I think when we have this discussion, people are, the polls show 55% ready to support legalization of weed, but all the other drugs are around 10% or less. And you've been there in San Francisco, the heart of it all, where medical marijuana began and the whole commercial industry sprang forth. What's it been like from your perspective as a law enforcement professional, having to have been busting people for sales in the 80s, now seeing it being legalized now?
I think it's amazing. I think it's great. I think that, for the longest time, the attitude of the cops, for the most part, was sort of it was kind of, I don't say decriminalized, it was kind of a don't ask, don't tell. And then with the war on drugs, where they ramped up, and especially the crack thing, there were consequences where we were arresting people for pot. And when I give my talk for LEAP, I talk about a particular woman that I arrested for selling me a dime bag of weed. I was undercover. And it was just, and even then, I'm a rookie cop going, this doesn't make any sense. It's a little pack of weed. It's just, it's kind of inconsequential to me. I mean, I know that there's awareness and education. There are consequences. People think about weed smoking. But, here this woman suddenly has a felony record for selling weed. So I think at the time, I realized it was kind of ludicrous and even more so. And to see that California did sort of lead the charge with the legalized marijuana, and now we're sort of on the verge of making it legalized statewide, it's nice to see, the tide changing. And I think it's just a matter of time before it is nationwide. But my own personal outlook is, I feel a little conflicted having enforced it for so long, but I'm thrilled that we've come full circle to where it's now that's going to be legalized, and we're going to reduce the rates of incarceration and the money spent and the resources dedicated to enforcing weed laws.
Yeah, glad to hear it. Now, that does lead to what I was going to ask next, and we've only got about a minute left, but do you really think that legalizing marijuana redirects police resources, or do these guys just take more time off on breaks?
No, absolutely, it redirects them. It absolutely redirects them, because it's just, narcotics enforcement overall has taxed the daylights out of law enforcement, and it's also reprioritized. The regular cop on the street is now kind of the aggressive, hard-charging cops have become more focused on narcotics enforcement. So every traffic stop turns into a fishing expedition where they're looking for it. So no, the cops no longer are tasked with doing, weed enforcement or narcotics enforcement. They're gonna be able to dedicate their time to other stuff. And the breaks may be a little bit longer, but the reality is they're gonna know that there's other stuff that's not, weed's just not a priority. And I think a lot of cops will be relieved.
That's good news. Thank you, Carl Tenenbaum from San Francisco. We appreciate your service, and thank you for joining LEAP and standing up for our freedoms.
Russ, I appreciate it very much. Thank you for all you're doing.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we will have my radical rant on my advice for people who want a third-party president, people who want a third-party representation, people who want a choice other than giant douche or turd sandwich. I've got the solution for you. It takes work, it takes math, it takes dedication, but it can be done. I've got your answer when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.